Welcome. Let's join best-selling author Fred Kuhn as he interviews our next guest expert.
Hi, everybody. Today, our guest is Eric Johnson. Eric is a senior executive leader, former naval officer, 30 years experience in HR across military, healthcare, transportation, defense, biotech, pharma, IT, and nonprofit. He has a degree from the Naval Academy and a master's from the Naval Postgraduate School. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Fred. It's good to be here.
The question for today's podcast is, what are the best tools an HR leader can use to help brand and market their organization as an employer of choice in their particular industry? In other words, to beat the competition in sourcing, screening, hiring, training, retaining high-quality talent.
Excellent question and very prescient for the environment today, Fred. And you're correct. The gap is narrowing. The competition is growing more fierce. And, you know, before I get into some of the more obvious things that might leak to my fellow HR peers' minds, I really want to talk about three things. One is your total comp benefits package. The second piece will be how we are perceived in the social media world, because that's where our talent is looking. And the third piece would be our company culture and how we actually discuss that. So the first thing I will talk about is in total comp package and total benefits is everyone obviously has finite revenues to invest. Here I'm now working in a very vibrant and growing home healthcare industry. One of the important things is that we actually have a very good understanding of what is being offered by our competitors. You hear a lot about when you see attrition from a company or you see people leaving, everyone always assumes it's always compensation and benefit. And I would put forward that, yes, those are important. Obviously, people want to be well compensated, just like you and me, for the work they do and for what the market will sustain for their level of employment. But you also have to understand that doing some market research analysis and understanding of what the competitors in your particular industry are offering for, and not just entry level, but also for mid-level and senior level. And I would put forward that your comp package does not have to be the high end. You know, we have some competitors that, quite frankly, throw a heck of a lot of money at their new hires to attract them initially, but they don't have the culture or the retention or the engagement behind that to sustain the employees for the long term. So they have high turnover. I would say what you don't want to be is at the bottom of the compensation competitive scale. You want to be at the middle or slightly above the middle, where people look at you and go, okay, that's in my ballpark. That's in my range. We all have ranges that we look at, and you want to make sure that you are hiring by classification correctly and in compliance. You want to make sure hourly employees are hourly and exempt, non-exempt. You also want to look at their benefits packages if you can. And it takes some work because you have to actually do some research and you have to talk to former employees who've gone to other organizations. There's some publicly available information, but you know, companies closely guard this information for a good reason. But you need to understand that you have to have a very good comp and benefits capability to make sure that you're at that middle of the fulcrum or slightly higher, so that when you get to offer point for either entry level or mid-level or senior level, you're not off the scale on the bottom side. And you know, you hear, hey, I'd love to work for you guys, but you don't pay enough. Okay. You can also get an understanding of what that requires in comp and benefits, obviously. And I strongly suggest if any of my peers don't have a consistent surveying capability and function within their organization, that they implement one quickly, because what the employees choose to do and what they state on an anonymous survey is really going to feed those data points that you're going to have to collect to propose any changes to your comp and benefits, because it's going to require investment from the CFO, the COO, and the CEO. And, you know, you hear the term millennial batted around a lot. I would say that you have to understand that they have a different motivator than some of us more quote unquote seasoned people. They perceive the world in a little bit different way, and we can rail against the change, but the reality is you want to attract and retain this group of people into the future. And they are looking for not so much to be highly paid in everything, but to be stimulated and to be engaged and to keep remain interested in their job. So you need enough to attract. You need to get your total benefits comp package a little past the fulcrum, and then off you go. The second piece I would say is, what does your media presence look like at social media? We cannot ignore millennials and X and Y generation folks, and even to some extent back into the baby boomers, live in social media. They are going to look at your company. They're continuing to hire. They're going to look at Glassdoor. They're going to look on Facebook. They're going to look at these things. How is your social media presence? Are you actually posting fresh information? Is the information that you're presenting graphic? Does it tell the story of the company? For my current company, our differentiator, and the thing is, you want to find what differentiates you from the competition and brand yourself around that. You know, ours is extremely high quality service. We provide the highest quality service of any healthcare company in California. And we have the data to show it as measured by federal and state agencies. We post that. We post patient testimonials, and we provide little nuggets that actually say, this is a company where you can come to work where, as a professional, you will be expected to perform at a professional level. And, you know, that actually, in some ways, helps us not bring on board people who we don't necessarily want to get who are just looking to collect a paycheck. But actually, these are all clinicians and medical care providers, and they're proud of what they do. So you appeal to that pride by the level of quality. So you find that differentiator in your company. You make sure it's footprinted all over your social media. Make sure your website for the company is ergonomic. It's easy to use. It's easy to get around in. It has good graphics backed up by good detail, because that's how people communicate today. Finally, I would say you want to make sure that you take a long, hard look at the culture of the company and try to capture what that culture is and include that in your brand. You have to have a tagline. You have to have a brand that's perpetual. Johnson & Johnson has the same vision statement I think they've had for 110 years, and it has sustained the whole time. Our current motto for this company, you know, come home, get well, live life. And that is transposed across everything, and it speaks to what we are in one simple sentence. It's communicated, and you communicate that internally and externally. And you include that brand in things like shirts for your employees. We don't have a big advertising and marketing branch, but we do conscientious branding across everything from our careers page to our website to our stationery to everything. Everything says go home, get well, live life, and then it drives down from there. I hope that's a good start to answer your question, Fred.
Well, it's a great start. It leads me to ask you specifically about the difficulty I'm hearing from other HR senior executives about the millennials, motivating them, keeping them, because as you and I both know, turnover is extremely costly. And so how do you appeal to the millennials? Because as you said, they do have a different approach and motivations than those of us who are over 40 or over 50 have.
The thing that I have found about millennials, I'll give you a little background. We did a study when I was working in Navy recruiting, and you've probably seen the Navy brand at the time was Join the Navy, See the World or something like that.
Right.
And we came along and rebranded that into America's Navy, a global force for good. That was our brand. Well, we introduced that brand to the senior leaders of the Navy, and they didn't like it. There were a bunch of, you know, more senior four-star admirals, and they said, it's not kinetic enough, and it's not hard-hitting. I said, well, if we're trying to attract 17 to 24-year-olds, either out of high school or college, that are millennials, it speaks to them. And the thing that millennials want to see is they want to have an impact. They want to be able to see that they're doing something that's bigger than themselves. That's a motivator. And the second piece is they like recognition. You know, now that's a little bit beyond us, but the culture has driven them to getting lots of recognition along the way for the achievements they've made. You can't hire a millennial and cast them loose into your workforce, either on staff or in the field, and they don't hear or get a thank you or a pat on the back. So you have to instill a culture of, we recognize what you're doing. And some people say, well, we shouldn't have to say thank you. They're doing their job, we're getting paid. Well, great. That might have worked in the 1950s and 60s or for our generation, Fred, but it does not work for these. So it's recognition for doing a solid job in communicating back to them. And that's what's great about working for me in the healthcare industry is that we affect lives every day. And we really promote that back, and we get kudos that come back from patients and from our clients that we communicate broadly across the field. And it takes nothing more than a little post on our website or a little email to that particular area. And there are people saying, Nurse John Smith just got this wonderful letter from patient Jane Doe that basically said, thank you, you were outstanding and you did great. You helped alleviate my pain and change my life. I appreciate it. And that just gets volumes, and it takes so little effort and so little cost. So I would ask my HR peers to really consider that don't just recognize your top 10 or 15 percenters. You need to give strokes to the middle of your workforce that is showing up every day and being dependable doing their job if they're in that millennial age group. But you have to have targets. You know, you have to realize you've got differentiators in age groups and you can actually target them differently. The more senior folks, they're not really expecting to get patted on the back for doing a good job twice a week. But when they do a good job or they do something that's a little bit above and beyond, you better make sure you and do little things like great job stickers on a formal letter, on a handwritten letter from the CEO. You know, hey, thank you so much. Put it on their desk. They post them all up all over the office. They just love it. You know, like, oh, my gosh, this is great. Hey, thanks for saving the company $20,000 by doing this. Great job. Here's $1,000 on an Amazon gift card. Off you go. Little things like that go along when they spread such goodwill and it develops a loyalty. One of the things I learned in leadership in the Navy and after is you can't fake give a darn. You can't fake caring about your people. And if a leader, you see them out quickly. If it's all about them and it's all about their success and it, you don't care about your employees as if they're part of your extended family in a leadership position, these people, you know, our employees rightfully so are expected to be inspired, informed, transparency, and they want to be part of the culture and the family that is the company that they're in. This is where they're going to make professional and personal friends. You build a community, if you will, a commune, if you will, within your organization where your culture, where they identify themselves as, you know, I'm a CVH care clinician and I'm proud of it. And then you've achieved a certain goal. And that takes effort, but not so much cost.
Well, our time is up, Eric. Do you have any final thoughts for your HR colleagues?
Just that getting yourself positioned at the strategic table to allow your peer C-level or VPs to become advocates with you and for you to make those strategic decisions that may require resourcing in what is considered by them a soft field is critical. And your relationships with your peers and your seniors need to remain open to where you can walk in the door as a trusted carrier of the company's best interest and the employee's best interest. So make sure you pay attention to those peer and senior relationships in that when you have points to make that you can make them with some open and willing ears.
Once again, we spent a terrific 15 minutes. Eric Johnson, our guest today, senior executive leader, former naval officer, experience in transport, defense, biotech, pharma, nonprofit, Naval Academy graduate, and with multiple honors. Eric, it's been a pleasure having you, and I thank you very much for sharing with your colleagues about this issue.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.